WCRI's festival series highlights one of our community's greatest musical traditions, the Newport Music Festival. Since 1969, the Newport Music Festival has hosted over 2,000 concerts in Rhode Island's most prestigious venues, while presenting world-renowned and emerging classical music artists from around the globe. The Newport Music Festival has left an indelible mark on our music history here in Rhode Island, as well as around the world. Now, here's host Mike Mano, along with the festival's executive director, Pamela Pantos.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of our special series with the Newport Music Festival. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Pamela Pantos, and we are here to bring you episode number 40.
Wow.
Number 40.
Woohoo!
Happy Veterans Day, everyone, and let's get started with our show. It's almost Thanksgiving.
It is.
And shortly after that, everyone will be in the holiday mood, and you're going to help that, right?
I certainly am going to try. You're absolutely right about that. The Newport Music Festival is presenting a special Christmas concert called A Musical Christmas. This will be on Saturday, December 8th. At 7:30, and Sunday, December 9th at 2 p.m., both concerts at St. Mary's Church in Newport. I'm very excited about this concert. It will be full chorus, two children's choirs combined, harp, piano, a baritone soloist, a sing-along, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Wow.
Tickets are only $25 for adults and $5 for children because we wanted to make sure that everyone could partake of something special for the holiday season.
Great. That sounds like a big event. That's going to be a lot of people involved.
Oh, it's going to be huge. And I love the fact that it starts with the children's choir and then we have a big sing-along and everybody will have the lyrics in their program so they can sing along. And there might even be a special visit, but I won't say from whom.
It's beginning to look a lot like this. All right.
You have a pretty nice voice there.
Thank you very much. Today's show, however, is not about Christmas music.
No, it is not. It's actually about fall. You know, now that the leaves are falling, we sort of realize that 2018 is coming to a close. There's always that little bit of realization. So I began, actually, as a classical musician, to think about 1818, 100 years ago, because it was such a robust period of time. And I realized that a couple of my favorite pieces were actually composed in that year. I started doing my research. So we're going to start, actually, we're going to have an entire program about Beethoven this evening. Ludwig von Beethoven lived from 1770 to 1827. He was, however, deaf by 1811 when he stopped conducting and performing, but he continued to compose, and as a matter of fact, some of his greatest works are from these last years, but he was tragically deaf. And sometimes I think we just say deaf and we gloss over this fact. But just imagine that this was one of the greatest composers to ever have lived, and music and hearing was his life.
Right.
There were no devices or amplifiers. So he remained and lived in his head for the last decade and a half of his life.
That's amazing. I mean, the things that he did, it's like saying a great painter is blind.
Right.
I mean, it's the same kind of thing.
Exactly. You know, he had these things called conversation books that we've discovered where he and his friends or his companions would actually write out conversations because he couldn't speak to them otherwise. And, you know, you read all these stories about his temper and his grumpiness, but if you were suddenly cut off from everything that meant anything to you, how do you think your disposition would be?
Right?
So Beethoven was a bachelor and lived alone, which exacerbated the situation. So personally, I'm amazed at the miraculous compositions he created despite his devastating disability. So in addition to having lost his hearing in 1817, he fell quite ill. So in 1818, when he began to feel better, he started composing again. He wrote songs and the famous Hammerklavier Sonata, as well as sketching out the Ninth Symphony. So the Hammerklavier, the piano sonata number 29, opus 106, is known as the Große Sonata für Hammerklavier, you know, the big sonata for Hammerklavier. It's widely viewed as one of the most important works of the composer's third period, and certainly one of the greatest piano sonatas of all time. It is considered his most technically challenging piece and one of the most demanding solo works in the entire classical piano repertoire. He dedicated it to his patron, Archduke Rudolf. And in some ways, it's a precursor to his later compositions, his last period. He reinvents the sonata form, you know, he adds his humor to it. And so he also set a precedent for the length of solo compositions, right? Previously, things were short, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can imagine Mozart and things. They didn't last that long. And here, the Hammerklavier is a piece that takes about 45 to 50 minutes.
Wow.
So again, he is expecting from his audience incredible concentration. It has four movements, where Mozart's and Haydn's piano works tend to have three. So there's an allegro, second movement is the scherzo and the assai vivace, the third movement, the famous adagio sostenuto, and then the last movement, the introduzione, the largo allegro fuga. So this sonata's name comes literally, hammerklavier, means to hammer, it means hammer keyboard. And if you think about it, at the time, the not the clavichord, but rather the harpsichord was still being used. And as we know, that plucks the strings. And it was during Beethoven's lifetime that the pianoforte itself had this huge evolution and development. So it really meant that he was writing something for the forte piano, specifically with that sound and the striking sound in mind. So this work makes extensive use also of pedal, which was, of course, a new invention as well. So what's also interesting is Beethoven gave a lot of detailed instructions on how he wanted the pedal used. So again, just imagine new instrument, new thoughts, new structure, new form, and it all comes together this in this incredible sonata. So I'd love to listen to the first movement, the Allegro, and it was very difficult to decide which pianist to play because, you know, there's Brendel, there's all these great pianists, but I decided on Maurizio Pollini. So Maurizio Pollini playing the hammerklavier first movement, Allegro.
We will listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more. Thank you.
Thank you.
The Newport Music Festival is the subject of our program this evening, as usual. I'm Mike Maino, and very happy to be sitting with Pamela Pantos, the executive director of the Newport Music Festival. And we've been talking about Beethoven, and we're going to continue with that.
Right. So we heard the first movement of the Hammerklavier, and we would be remiss if we did not play the incredible third movement. Paul Becker, the famous German critic, called this movement the apotheosis of pain, of that deep sorrow for which there is no remedy, and which finds expression not in passionate outpourings, but in the immeasurable stillness of utter woe. And William Kempff described it as the most magnificent monologue Beethoven ever wrote. So in keeping with our theme for fall, I'd like to listen to this piece, and perhaps let's try to understand that this is really a mirror of Beethoven's soul at this point in his life, his personal suffering. And because we so rejoice in his huge pieces that are full of movement, this is really, you know, the polar opposite. So again, we're going to listen to Maurizio Pollini playing the third movement of the Hammerklavier Sonata, the Adagio Sostenuto.
It is a little bit lengthy, so we'll listen to that in its entirety, and then take a short break and be back with more. Thank you. Beautiful music that's being played, Pamela. I'd like to get right back to it. I know you have a lot to get in, so what's next?
Well, rather than leave our listeners saddened, I wanted to leave them uplifted this weekend. So, thinking that coming out of 1818 and his sketches, Beethoven did create his Ninth Symphony. So let's listen to the finale and his Ode to Joy. There's always light out of darkness, and we're so lucky that Beethoven saw his way out of his dark times to give us this joyful and glorious piece. So this is Herbert von Karajan, the Berliner Philharmonica, with soloists soprano Anna Tomova-Sintov, mezzo Agnes Balzer, tenor Peter Schreier, and bass Jose van Damme with the Wiener Singverein.
Thanks once again for bringing us this beautiful music, and we'll see you next time with the Newport Music Festival.
Thank you for listening to WCRI's Festival Series featuring the Newport Music Festival. For more information on the festival, special seasonal concerts, to purchase tickets, or to donate, call 849-0700 or visit newportmusic.org.